What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're live on YouTube once again, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. With me is Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. How's it going, Bob?
It's getting to the cold weather, and I'm not a fan.
I know. We had to kind of kick the heat on a little bit.
Today was one of those like cold, rainy, I don't want to be outside days. At some points I was getting tired of the heat. I'd much rather prefer the heat over the cold. Especially in the morning, like I wake up and I'm cold. Yeah. And it's just not a good way to start the day.
It's so dark in the mornings too. Now it's all changed and
yeah,
tough getting up. But then like after work today, I was walking out to my car and it was pretty warm, and I got in my car and it was like 90 degrees inside my car. And so I actually kicked the air on. But of course tonight it'll, you know, get down to like low 40s, 30s. And
yeah, it's been like 40
the heat on in the morning.
And, 40s and 50s here, so it just hasn't been fun. But the good thing about the cold is that you're not like excited to go outside, so that leaves time for like building computers and doing reviews and of course gaming, which was their big gaming thing this week, which we'll obviously talk about. Yeah. But let's just jump into our reviews this week.
Sure.
And we'll start with a graphics card. I took a look at Gigabyte's GeForce RTX 2060 Super WinForce OC 8G. Gigabyte has the longest names ever.
Yeah,
for their products, I feel. So this is their at MSRP of reference RTX 2060 Super. So it's the same price as a reference card, but you're getting a slight factory overclock. And if you look at it, of course, you're getting a custom cooling solution.
Cooling, yep.
Yeah, so I have it here, so I might as well talk about it on the camera. Let's see here. So I have to hold it up pretty high, but the card itself, it's a really good card. It's great that it's at the MSRP because you're basically getting extras for no extra cost. So you're getting a slight factory overclock. It's 1680 megahertz is your boost on this, which is only 30 megahertz over the
nothing crazy.
Yeah. But so it's nothing crazy. It's nothing that you're going to like really notice in games, but it's going to give you just like one FPS or like, you know, a few more points in that benchmark or whatever. But
it's a little bit of free speed.
Yeah, it's free speed, basically, that you don't have to mess around and do yourself, which I like. They've gone with their two fan cooling solution, which is their WinForce 2X. It has two 100 millimeter fans in it, two heat pipes. You guys kind of see there on the side. We have two heat pipes there. Two copper heat pipes. What Gigabyte has done, I think, since the 10 series of graphics cards is they've kept their cards. They all look the same. So this could be a 2080 of their WinForce, and you wouldn't know, right? Because they all look the same. The only difference with this one is there is no RGB lighting. This Gigabyte logo doesn't light up. There's no RGB lighting on this at all. For a same as reference, that's kind of standard with a lot of different companies. So you're not getting any RGB lighting. You do get a full backplate, but this backplate,
that's nice.
It is plastic.
It's not
metal. So in terms of design, I like the design. It works well. The cooling solution is good, but it's not as good as their WinForce 3X, which we saw on their gaming OC card. That has the 3X, which has three smaller fans. It works better. This is also noticeably louder in operation, which kind of makes sense because you do have the larger fans and everything like that. But as far as like the card itself, this card is going to do quite well.
Is it just a dual slot design?
Yeah,
right?
it's a dual slot design. This card, as far as performance goes, it's really good. It's going to slot in between a RX 5700 and RX 5700 XT. It kind of just slots in there perfectly. If you just look at one of our graphs here, the 5700 is better at Ashes Singularity. But let's go back to our graphs for 3D Mark. You know, it kind of sits in between. So it's that kind of in between of the two cards. So you see it here, with our 5700 XT right under it. It, like I said, it's really good performance. It's the perfect 1080p card for high frame rates. So if you're looking to get over 100 FPS, maybe you have a 120, 144 hertz refresh monitor, you'll be able to use this card at 1080p. At 1440p in AAA titles, you're going to easily get 70 to 90 FPS, even higher in a lot of, you know, say like esports titles and things like that. You can do 4K on this card, but you're not going to be able to do it at the highest settings in most AAA titles. You'll have to turn it down a little bit, but I think overall it's a good card. It's, again, the same price as MSRP. So if you're looking at this or the, you know, the a reference card, you might as well get this because you're going to get extra speed. You're going to get a better cooling solution. These fans, they also turn off when the card is idle. So in normal operation, just like say like now we're doing the podcast, I wouldn't have any fans running on my GPU at all. So if you're worried about noise or something like that, you really wouldn't have to worry about that either. The only caveat to this is their gaming OC card, which we reviewed like a month ago. It's only $20 more. It has a better cooling solution. And it has a much higher higher factory overclock. So $20 isn't that much more to spend, but if you're on a tight budget or you say, okay, I'm only spending $400 on a card, that is absolutely it. This is a great card to get. Or if, of course, you want to put that $20 towards something else, you want to put it towards a better SSD or better memory or something like that. Again, it's not a bad card for a 2060 Super. It's always great to have, you know, we're getting more performance in that price range, which is great too.
I'm just looking at here, you know, kind of comparing the WinForce versus that the gaming OC, and the difference between them, really, there's not a ton of performance. So I mean, yeah, save that 20. I'm kind of in the boat of save that $20, put it towards something else.
Yeah, the only difference really for me is the cooling. So yeah, the cooling on the gaming OC is better. It is quieter as well.
Okay.
So it's a trade-off, but like
trade-off, sure.
But yeah, $20. I mean, in certain builds, $20 can go a long way. Yep. So it's all in what you want to do, but with these two cards, I think Gigabyte has a solid choice for you. You know, if you want to spend the extra $20, you can get this card. If you want to pay, you know, the reference MSRP, you can get the WinForce card. So I think they're both really great cards. So definitely check out our review. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10, just for the fact that I still hate this plastic. It's plastic.
I know. I was like, yeah, really excited plastic about it, having a backplate, until you said plastic. And I mean, it does look nice, right? It looks better than the back of a PCB, but you're not getting anything out of it. And in fact, it might actually be trapping some heat. But
yeah, and there are some other small things that I didn't mention, like this is completely closed back here, whereas on the WinForce, it's open, so you can have air circulating out of the card. You know, there's some other things. So I gave it an 8.5, where I gave the gaming OC a 9. Still very close. You know, still a very great choice if you're going for a 2060 Super. So definitely check out our review. Two good cards there from Gigabytes. And we'll move on to my memory review this week. And I took a look at the most RGB,
some bright stuff,
that I've seen in a memory kit. It is ADATA's XPG Spectrix D60G. We took a look at their DDR4 3200 16 gigabyte kit. This kit retails for $89.99, so it's not super expensive. And as you can see, it has crazy RGB. So I'll actually go to our lighting pictures, which I believe are on the third page. You guys can see here. I mean, there's RGB. Typically, we see
this on the sides, yeah, everywhere.
We see this top part here have RGB, right? But we have it all along the side, all along the bottom.
Now, are those LEDs then, there's not separate sections between the top and the bottom, at least it looks like from your images, unless you just didn't have them configured. Do those LEDs that are kind of in the middle there, it looks like the color is the same all the way vertically? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. So you have, at least ADATA claims this is like the most RGBs per on a RGB module, I guess, or and everything like that. They look great as far as looks. They're compatible with all major motherboard software. So if you have, you know, Gigabyte, Asus, ASRock, MSI, even probably EVGA. It's all compatible. So you plug these in, you know, it's detected by your motherboard RGB software, and then you can sync it up with your motherboard, you know, all the RGBs on your motherboard and things like that. But they also offer software if you have an older motherboard that doesn't have RGB support or something like that, or you just want them to do their own thing separate of your motherboard software or whatever it may be. Their software is pretty basic. It's not great, but it will get the job done for sure. As far as performance, it's pretty good. It held up pretty well in most of our testing and everything like that. Let's go to our testing here. As you can see, as our comparison here, I mean, it's right under the Corsair Dominator, probably by a lot, as most of these are. But it held up really well in our testing. Didn't have any issues with testing. Obviously, this is XMP profile enabled, so you just enable your XMP profile. You're good to go off the bat. We were able to get an extra 400 megahertz out of it as far as overclocking, and that's without changing the timings, the voltage, anything. I just set it to 36, and you know,
just went.
Okay. No problem. And the one issue that I thought I might have especially when it came to overclocking, is if we look at the modules again, all lit up. Actually, I'll go to the second page here. We look at the modules, is that there's not really a heat spreader, right? This metal piece is there, but it's not like your traditional heat spreader that covers most of the memory ICs or anything like that. And then this diffuser is obviously plastic.
Sure.
So I thought I might get some heat issues or something like that, but I didn't run into any of that stuff.
I mean, they've got to have something making contact, right?
Yeah, it's just not your normal thing, and it's obviously a lot less than what you would expect on any memory, really, that we review. So I didn't run into that issue, so that was a good thing as well. As I said, these are $89.99 for the 16 gig kit at 3200 megahertz. Which I think is a great deal. This is definitely going to bright up your system. Your memory is going to look awesome. It's really going to stand out. And it is the most RGBs that I've seen on a memory kit. I mean, it just is.
Yeah. What I really like about that lighting too is just about every other RGB memory module has the lights on top, right? Whereas the lighting on the side, it's lighting up like in that image you've got there, the side of your CPU cooler, just the area around it, I think gets a lot more exposure and
A lot more ambient effect light from it, coming from the modules. And again, this is really going to light up your system. So, you know, we've seen companies try to make something unique. We saw the Trident Z Royals, right?
Yep.
You know, those are very unique and very different. The
course, was it that did the liquid on top, like the,
that was also ADATA.
Okay.
You know, so we've seen, and this is something very different. It's not the typical diffuser at the top with RGBs under it. This is like the whole module is basically lit up. And I think we'll see more things like this as we get further into the year here, you know. But for the price that they are, the performance, overclocking, headroom, and I do like that they come with their own software, because just sometimes the motherboard software, not all the time works with it. Even though it says it works with it, sometimes it doesn't. And two, if you're on a system that, you know, say you have a BioStar motherboard for some reason, you know, you could use the software and control the RGBs and things like that. You know what I mean? So definitely check out this review as well. It's just like I said, it's some really awesome memory. If RGB is your thing. Now, if RGB is not your thing, I don't know if you want this memory, but it is really good. But just in general, it's good performance, and then you get the addition of the awesome lighting and things like that. So that will bring us to Case Mod Friday. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's where we feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a build called Transparent Chess. And if I bring it up here, you guys can see why it's called Transparent Chess. Because it's basically a chessboard that is made out of acrylic. and it actually opens up to reveal two systems inside that are water cooled. Here's a shot you guys can see from the inside here.
Copper tubing there.
Yeah, copper tubing, all that kind of fun stuff. Let's see if we can show some of these other ones. But yeah, you can see how it actually opens up.
It's interesting that they've got the split systems, an Intel and a AMD system.
Yeah.
You know, CPUs and video cards. It's kind of...
Yeah, that's a...
interesting choice.
Yeah, they... This is done as part of this year's Case Mod World Series from Cooler Master. But I think it's very unique. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before.
Now, are those gears functional? Do they do anything?
They open
on the side. Do they open it up?
They open the...
So it kind of slides along that rail?
Yeah. Okay. So they open it up. So here's what it looks like closed. And then that rail, I guess, you know, will open it up and everything like that. I think it's really cool. I believe all of the chess pieces are all custom made as well, which is really cool. You know, and here's the whole thing. So they have this, you know, if you're wondering where, you know, the radiators are.
And what is that radiator?
So this is a massive cooling apparatus they have here. And it's basically like a stand. So it's like a standing chessboard, which is pretty cool. Very different and all that. I think it's pretty cool, though. It's like I said, it's very interesting.
Aqua Airplex. Is that what the...
Yeah.
840 millimeter.
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like I said, it's just unique. I think we see so many of the same builds, and I think this one is very, very, you know, unique and interesting. And I like how they kind of did the dueling systems, right? So you have... Mm-hmm. You know, you have NVIDIA on this side, AMD.
Different color schemes. That's pretty, it's pretty neat.
Yeah. And the copper tubing. I'm actually a fan of copper tubing. I think it's just not that many people do it these days.
You like steampunk stuff?
Yeah, kind
of. You and Gears, you like the Tai Chi stuff?
Yeah. So definitely check this out. This is interesting. This is done by Mark's Fabrication. We have his, I believe it's his Facebook we have listed here. So you can check out a lot of his different builds and things like that. But really cool. And if you want to check out the Case Mod World Series, you can just Google Cooler Master Case Mod World Series 2019. And there's a ton of builds in there you guys can check out. So really, really cool stuff there for sure. And that brings us to our video this week. And I actually did a different type of video. So most of our videos are sort of like, I don't know.
Product reviews.
Yeah.
Like overviews, BIOS.
Product reviews and things like that. So this past week, and I actually talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago, that I installed these lights right here. But the thing about these lights was... that I'm renting where I'm at now, and this room, I'm not going to get up and turn it off to show you. You guys can check it out in the video, but I needed something that I could install that I wouldn't have to wire into the electric of the house, because I don't know what I'm doing, and two, I just didn't want to have to deal with that and then have to remove it later, or like leave the, you know, the expensive lights that I bought at the house, at the place that I'm renting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I wanted a solution that was easy to install, that I could just plug into an outlet, and I just couldn't find anything. I was like, I was going to buy light fixtures and all this stuff. And then I stumbled upon these are what you call shop lights. So they're made for like a garage or a workshop or something like that. And they worked out so well for me. They're what's lighting me now. So I don't have any crazy lights on me. Like I feel that I'm very well lit.
Yeah.
And these were like $45, which is not expensive.
The
entire kit is $45. Oh, wow. And I only have five of them up. There's actually one more, but I'm going to be installing that in the basement just for extra light down there. And what's really cool is, you can see that I kind of have them daisy chained here.
So you can use them independent or daisy chained?
You can use them independent or daisy chained. They include all six power buttons. So you can, again, use them all individually with a power button and turn them on or off. They come with enough things to daisy chain like this. They even come with ones that are like super short, so you wouldn't even see like this cable that I had here or anything like that. And it's, again, it's $45. It gets...
That's crazy. That's a really good deal.
So if you're renting or you want just easy lights that are very bright, and the thing is that's great about them is they are LED.
They're not going to get hot.
Yeah, they're not going to get hot. That's the biggest thing. Because before this, in this office, as my main, like I had one light, which is just like a normal light. You can cut, or you actually can't see it, but you can see it right here. It's like this dome light. I'd have that on, but then I would have my studio lights. My studio lights get very hot. That's what I use like when I film video and stuff.
Sure.
So now I have these lights and I love it. Like I come in here and I turn on the lights and I'm awake. It just really helps with productivity and it helps with not having to bring in extra lights to take, you know, like shots and video and all this stuff. It just worked out really well. So I go over the lights. I go over how I, you know, I use command strips for the cabling. I put in a smart outlet so I can just tell my Alexa to turn things on or off. Just all that kind of cool stuff.
And they look like they're pretty, like, a cool temperature, like a pretty pure white.
Yeah, so...
Not really yellow or anything, which probably helps out a ton.
Yeah, so these are, I believe the ones I got are 6,500 Kelvin. They have a couple different options. So if you go in the description here, I have links to everything that I used and everything like that. So definitely check it out. It was actually fun to film. I kind of messed up on some of the stuff. In the video, as you can see, but it was just fun to film. It was something different and it was just something useful. I think a lot of you guys, you know, you have a bedroom that's serving as an office or you just want to light up a certain space. This is just, you know, it's something really cool. And old man who's in the chat right now, he said the lights are simple and anyone can install something like that. Yeah, they're super simple. I'm not good with like installing things as far as like hardware and lights, not so, PC hardware I can do,
sure,
but like when it comes to like fixtures and like if you ask me to put a frame up on a like on a wall, it's not gonna be straight. Yeah, it's just not gonna be so
super, and it's just easy. Command strips that's holding them up.
So they came with brackets initially. Okay. And I actually installed them in the brackets, but as I went through it, I eventually got command strips to put some other stuff up in the office. And now that, like, I had to drill into the ceiling with these, the holders that come with this, which is okay. Only two per light. So it's not like it's not a big deal. But when I thought back on it, I was like, I should have just done this with command strips because it would have been so much easier.
Okay. So they're pretty lightweight too.
Yeah, they're super lightweight. I said it in the video, but each light weighs far less than a normal power strip.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, so if you need this for like, I would highly suggest this for an office if you're renting, or even a bedroom if you're renting, for definitely for like a garage or something like that, you know, because these just work out so great and all that. So I have links to everything that I used in the video. Definitely check it out and let us know what you think about the video, because this is something different. As I am slowly upgrading this office, I'll be doing more vlog style videos, not like a product video, but like me just upgrading stuff and fixing things and all that kind of stuff. So definitely let me know, you know, what you think of all that. But it was a lot of fun. And it was like trial and error, which I like going through that on video. It's kind of fun. So
yeah.
Cool. So let's go to news. And there's not a whole lot of stuff going on right now, but we do have some rather interesting things to talk about. The first thing is the GTX 1660 Super. So we are going to get a 1660 Super, which is going to confuse us even more on pricing. I've talked about it for the past month as far as like, okay, we had our three cards. We had our range of NVIDIA range of cards.
Yep.
You know, for the super low end, it was like, you know, 1660, 60, you know, we just had our set range of cards. And now you're bringing in these super cards, which I like because they bring more value to the consumer. And they make things more competitive in the space, but it's very confusing as a consumer. Do I get a 1660? Do I get a 1660 Super? Do I get a 1660 Ti? They're all within $10, $15 of each other. So what's the deal?
What this really like makes me think about is, when was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when NVIDIA wanted to have their exclusive branding and everything for all their vendors, their video cards, you know, to make things easier for the consumer. Mm-hmm. It just like there's no way that that's what they were after, because they just go ahead and do all this and make it more confusing, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's, you know what I mean?
It's the entire video card range, for the most part, especially as we get into these lower SKUs, is such a mess right now. It's just, you know, when we had the, when we had our set cards, like for the, I guess you would call it, well, the 16 series and the 20 series, you knew what you would get at a certain price point, you know, but now it's just a mess. But with the 1660 Super, the big thing we didn't know is what kind of memory it would use. And now, because the renders of a few boxes were leaked, you can see these are from Zotac. They say GDDR6 on them. So we know we're going to get the faster, better performing GDDR6 memory. That's just a plus. You know, GDDR6 has been relegated to the higher RTX cards. Now it's going to come down. You know, and it's just good to see. And I think that finally it's getting less expensive too for NVIDIA. So you're just going to see it on this card. So that's one good thing. And the next thing, of course, we saw those cards there from Zotac. So you do have, I believe this is their Amp edition, which is pretty standard. Everybody knows the Amp edition. And then they're just going to have their normal, 1660 Super. On the MSI side, their cards that were leaked just earlier today, they're going to have their Gaming X, which everybody knows the Gaming X is one, actually one of my favorite cards, and like just the design in general is really cool. For their Gaming X, you will get RGB lighting on it, which is for a I guess you would call it more entry level card.
Yeah,
you get a backplate, which is metal. So you'll have that, and they're having their Ventus XS, and there's actually going to be two of these. One is going to be overclocked, so you have the OC edition. There's going to be another one that will just have reference speeds and things like that. This is plastic. It looks, they've actually changed it to even look even more like brushed.
Give it a brush, yeah.
But we did a 2060 Ventus when the 2060s came out, and it was plastic. It was kind of, this on the Gigabyte, you can really tell it's plastic. On the Ventus, I wish I could bring it down because I have it over there. On the Ventus, you couldn't tell initially unless you went like this, like unless you went like that.
Sure.
You couldn't tell, but this one, they made it even look more like, I mean, that looks like brushed aluminum, but it's actually plastic on this one. But, these cards will be arriving very soon. I forget the date that it was, but maybe the 23rd. I could be wrong. But you'll see a lot of these leaks, leading up to the launch. This card is basically a 1660 with a little bit faster speeds and of course GDDR6 memory, but it should slot in below the 1660 Ti. I know it's confusing. So you're getting faster performance as far as the GPU and then GDDR6, but it's not going to hinder the 1660 Ti, at least I don't think. I don't know.
I hate seeing something come in like that's newer, but it's slower than your previously mod, you know, like
it just, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's this whole thing of like trying to really match AMD on price. And like, it's all because NVIDIA's stock price is not great. Yeah. You know, so I just think it's way too confusing. I like having to set things. Okay. But now you have like five cards all within $10 of each other, making it very confusing for somebody who's looking to buy a card in that price range. So it's just, yeah, it's just not great. But yeah, so talking about nothing to do with, well, I guess it has somewhat to do with graphics cards.
Sure.
The PCI Express 6.0 specification is on track for 2021. Of course, technically, I guess we're on PCI Express 4.0. Saw that on X570. If you're still on an Intel system, of course, you're running PCI Express 3.0. PCI SIG, who makes the specification and all of that, they released a blog post today that outlined, you know, what they're shooting for in the future and what they plan to do with PCI Express 6.0. PCI Express 5.0, the specification was finalized back in May. And if we look here, I'll bring this up for you guys. So we're at PCI Express 4.0, which is, I guess, what's in between 60 or 32 and 64? I can't do math.
Well, like 48?
Yeah, probably 48. you know, and then we're going to move up here, PCI Express 5.0, which is 128, and then PCI Express 6.0, which is 256. So you're doubling, basically. And you don't want to have the biggest thing, the reason why they're putting out this information and telling everybody about it, we won't see this stuff for a long time, as far as like actually in products, but you don't want to have this big gap. So from 2010 to 2000, basically 18,
yeah, PCI
we were 3. On PCI Express 3.0. So, you know, we're on 4.0 now. You know, the specification has been finished for 5.0, and then, you know, the specification is being worked on for 6.0. It's on track to be done by 2021. So it's kind of cool stuff. That it's nice to see that they are essentially doubling performance, every generation. So especially when it comes to storage, this is going to be a big deal. Less and less when it comes to graphics cards, but especially we saw with, you know, X570 motherboards and PCI Express 4.0, the newer NVMe SSDs are crazy fast.
Yeah, there's a big speed jump there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that 128 and 256 really add up to
me. And when we actually will see it on products, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because again, the specification is done currently, but you're not going to see it on a product probably till 2021.
I mean, yeah, we're just seeing 4.0 stuff. So, you know, yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. But it's just something to talk about. If you're into this stuff, they have a blog post. We have it linked in the article. So you guys can go ahead and check that out. Talking about high-end desktop stuff. So we talked last week about AMD's TRX 40 chipset. So again, to reiterate, when it comes to third-gen Threadripper, you're going to get TRX 40, which is very similar to X570, but you'll get a few more features. And then you have TRX 80, which is going to be more geared towards workstation and things like that. And then you're going to get WRX 80, which is like full workstation, like server type stuff. But according to this rumor that the TRX 40 chipset will not be compatible with previous Threadripper processors. And this is a big deal because from the beginning, AMD said that they would be backwards compatible.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because the EPYC processors, which are like the precursor to the Threadripper 3 processors, they're pin compatible with first generation. So we don't know
what's changing there.
Yeah. And the sockets, so the TR4 and the SP3R2 sockets are identical. So we don't know why.
Almost identical.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're nearly identical. But we don't know why this is. And this could be, we could be running into the thing where like it happened with Intel, where like, yes, you can actually run a 9900K on like a previous generation.
Right. Even though they're like, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Asus is like, yes, you can do it.
Yeah, Intel's can. Like,
no, you can't.
please take that BIOS down.
Yeah. So we don't know the reason. This is just a rumor, but if it is true, we've seen a lot with AMD. You know, they said AM4 will be backwards compatible up to 2022, I believe, and it's technically not, especially with X570. Like, right. You can't have certain features it's not, you know, first gen Ryzen, what is that, X370? X370 boards can't run third gen Ryzen parts. So we've seen a lot of like backtracking and things like that. So something to think about. We'll obviously have more information when we get closer to Threadripper coming out next month. So that's something to look forward to. If you're looking to maybe upgrade to high-end desktop, or maybe you're on a first gen Threadripper and you know it's been a generation and next generation, you're ready to go.
Gotta render those videos quicker.
Oh yeah. High-end desktop, right. Baby. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
So something to, you know, kind of keep our eye on, and we'll definitely let you guys know more information when we find out about it. More in the server space and things like that. Intel did detail a new socket. It has nothing to do with us, I would say. It is the LGA4677 socket. So we're getting even more pins. So on Intel's high-end desktop, or not even on their more like workstation stuff, on their Xeons and things like that, we had just recently introduced the LGA 3647. Then they're going to go to the 4189 and then the LGA 4677. So it's like continually adding pins, which is kind of concerning.
And it's pretty big jumps too.
Yeah.
In pin count. I mean, that's a decent jump.
Yeah. And if you look at it too, I mean, 1151, that's what the 9900K and things like that. I don't know what this 1356 is. Is that a server? I mean, I guess it is a server part, but, and then, you know, LGA 2011, most of us know that's high end desktop. That's, you know, that's your 18 cores and, you know, and things like that. The 3647, of course, that was just introduced with the the Asus ROG Dominus boards and things like that. And then again, we'll see new stuff for this 4189. And then you'll see they have it pointing in 2021 for the 4677, which will use PCI Express 5.0. But again, this is all server stuff. I don't think I can't see Intel moving like in this direction on their high-end desktop stuff. Just don't see it.
I don't know.
Look at this slide. This is the 4189 that they were showing off. Like, that is huge. I know like the EPYC processors are big and Threadripper is big, but I mean, this is big.
It's enormous.
Yeah. So who knows? But it's definitely something we want to talk about and point out that just we're getting bigger and bigger sockets.
Bigger sockets, but, you know, smaller
nodes.
Smaller nodes, right?
I mean, yeah. So this is something that I want to talk to you about because you did review an optical keyboard,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So Razer introduced what they're calling the world's first optical laptop keyboard. I think there were technically laptop keyboards or like made, I don't know, but like they have a product that's actually being sold as a laptop that comes with a keyboard that is optical. So tell us a little bit about like, what is an optical keyboard and why is it ideal? Or like, why as a gamer, would you want an optical keyboard on your gaming, you know, on your Razer laptop?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of really, there's, customization that you can do with an optical switch. So, I mean, from a mechanical standpoint, like your typical mechanical switch, you have like some contacts that are making contact and separating, and that kind of controls when the system actually registers a key press. And so you've got that mechanical piece in there. It's a physical contact, whereas optical usually is a light and a sensor, either breaking a light beam to register a key press or registering a light beam to a sensor for the key press, you know, depending on how they're designed. With those lights and optics there, you can adjust, you know, how far that switch has to be depressed. You've got all sorts of options depending on the switch. It looks like, let's see here. I was looking for some of the specs there on this switch. I hadn't read the details regarding their switch, but you've got just a lot of options, usually just with the sensitivity and how far maybe you have to depress. It's a lot faster than a mechanical physical switch as well.
Technically, isn't it more accurate too?
Oh, sure.
Because I mean,
yeah, your switches, your contacts are going to wear out over time, right? With your optics, it's always, you know, it's a digital.
Yes. I mean, you're crossing.
You've got the laser right there, right, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, they put it there for graphics, obviously. It's not a little red laser. And
yeah. But yeah, so I think that's kind of cool. I'm actually surprised. I mean, we've seen a lot of optical gaming keyboards, but they haven't caught on. Maybe just because people do like the mechanical. But it's cool to see Razer do it. If anybody's going to do it on a laptop, it's going to be Razer, I would say.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that they're fitting that much hardware and technology into a you know, low profile laptop.
Yeah, Switch. it's on their Blade 15. I'm not sure if it's going to be like an option. I didn't really go to the Razer website and see if you can pick, like, if you want that as an option or not. I assume they'd have to let it. I guess as a user, you're not really going to know, right? Because they're not offering a mechanical version. Like, their Blade 15 doesn't come with mechanical switches.
Well, the nice thing about, like, the optical switches is you get most of them that I've seen have been designed to still have the mechanical feel, right? That,
yeah.
Depending on whether it's like a red or a brown or a blue or something like that, you can still add that feel in there, which is nice as well, even though it's optical actuation as opposed to like a metal contact there.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think if anybody's going to do it, Razer's going to do it. And if it makes things more accurate. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. We'll see if more companies, probably you would see like an ROG, the MSI has really great gaming laptops as well. So you see if those two would come out with one. I know MSI and ROG both offer gaming laptops with mechanical key switches, mm-hmm. Which is not something normal in any laptop. So we'll see if, you know, eventually they do the whole optical thing. So keep an eye on that for sure. Now on to games. So we have one massive story, which if you haven't heard of this week, I don't know where you're living. But we'll talk about one before that, which I think is very interesting and very cool. The Internet Archive has been putting MS-DOS games online since, I believe, 2015. So they're free to play in your browser and everything like that.
There goes my night.
Yeah, I know. I was playing Oregon Trail yesterday. I was sending my girlfriend screenshots. So I put her in as one of the people, and she got dysentery and died. They recently added 2,500 MS-DOS games, and I'll bring up the
Maniac Mansion. Ugh.
Yeah, I'll actually bring up the titles. So there's a ton. This is sorted by views. Obviously, the Oregon Trail is number one. But there's some really great games on here. And if you just click on them, I'm not going to click on it because I don't want to have to load up. But it loads completely in the browser, free to play. You know, the original SimCity. I think there was Sim Farm on here, which I really enjoyed. You know, Doom, Roguelike. I'm not sure what that is. Bust a Move, which is like what I loved this game. I think it came out on set. I don't remember. But like I played that a lot. You know, Prince of Persia, Wolfenstein 3D is on
here. That Aladdin game, I wonder if that's... I played one that was like on the Genesis or something. I wonder if it's similar.
Yeah. But yeah, these are all free to play in the browser. Sim Ant is on there. Monopoly, DuckTales.
Cool like World.
Total Carnage.
Doom 2.
Yeah, Sim Farm, Doom 2, a lot of really cool games that you might have played on Sega or something like that, but now you can play them in your browser. There are some caveats. One that I've noticed right away is that I use a 10 keyless keyboard and they need number pad, like actual number pad for some of the games.
Okay.
Most of them are arrows and then you can change some things around. Some of them don't. Oh, Ski Jump
Skater, Skater Die.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff on there. I want to play these. You know, there's some don't work as well. But like, I was playing Oregon Trail. I loaded up. What did I load up today? I loaded up Total Carnage today. That was kind of fun to just play through a little bit. But yeah, it's just like something fun, and you could do it in your browser. I mean, you could do it while you're at work.
Yeah.
You know, if you really wanted to. You know. But yeah, I mean, you completely do it in your browser. And there's no hardware requirements
end. They're gonna run on anything.
So there's a ton of stuff in here. In total, they have almost 7,000 games in here that you can play. You know, just some cool stuff. So if that's your thing, or you just want those retro feels, this is just something really awesome. And it's like, again, it's all free. It's you don't have to pay for anything. There's nothing. There's no ads in the games. Like, you're not going to get an ad every so many.
Wonder how licensing works with that stuff. You know,
I don't know if these are all like free now because of time,
right? Public domain type of stuff.
It's being done as part of this project called ExoDOS, which their whole initiative is to find every DOS game ever made, which is a lot.
Wow.
So they were given to the Internet Archive, and the Internet Archive uploaded them all. But I think that's awesome. 2,500 MS DOS games, man. That's just that's just awesome. So the second big gaming thing besides that, I'll see if
I mean, that's it. Like,
yeah, there's nothing else.
That's enough for me.
Let's see here. Fortnite.
Fort what?
I don't know. I don't know if I can play the video.
Can you play that? You're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll put it up here. So, anyways, the Fortnite event happened this week. So
yeah,
I guess whenever there's a new season, there Fortnite or Epic Games typically does an event. Since you're the expert, tell us typically what happens during an event, during a live Fortnite event.
So live is one thing, right? Which is kind of crazy that they can pull off something where simultaneously around the world, everybody playing, as long as you're essentially in a match, or even in this one, stuff happened if you're outside of a match. Things like the end of last season, season 9, there was a big battle. I haven't been able to participate in any of the live events for the last couple seasons, but there's usually some sort of storyline with every season in Fortnite that kind of builds through that season, and you'll have items appearing on the map, and the map kind of adjusts throughout the season, and you get some clues here and there as to what's going to happen. But this time they've kind of been hinting that it's the end, and everybody kind of that was in a match this time around got to kind of see a very similar story from when if you're familiar with Fortnite at all, the Visitor was trying to leave on his rocket ship a couple seasons ago, flew up into the sky and kind of created this crack in what it looked like a dome, and all sorts of chaos ensued. Well, this kind of the same thing sort of happened, except it almost seemed like there were multiple timelines and multiple rockets going. And what ended up happening is everything got sucked into a black hole, and everybody was presented with a black screen for a second, and then a little black dot in the middle with kind of a blue aura around it. And that was it. And for almost 2 days, you could not play Fortnite. Just kind of a teaser, you know, building up anticipation. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Everybody kind of thought that there was going to be a new map and a bunch of changes. So sometime yesterday morning, servers came back online and were presented with a new map, all sorts of new features. You can hide in hay bales, you can hide in dumpsters, there's boats, you can upgrade weapons at workbenches, you can fish, you can swim.
I did see the fishing.
Yeah, I played a little bit yesterday. I haven't been watching your screen, I've just kind of been going over what I've, but yeah, so you got Courage there. He's in the middle of the
I wanted to play this event. I don't know if you're going to be able to hear the audio. Let me know if you can hear my audio.
I cannot. Can you hear? Nope.
Okay.
So right there, like the big meteor that kind of took out Dusty Depot, I think, man, was it like season 5? I don't even remember anymore. There's this big meteor that's coming crashing down on where Loot Lake used to be, and there's kind of been this bubble there, right? And so this meteor is coming down and pushing against this bubble, and kind of like the unstoppable force against like the immovable object, right? And one of them's going to give. Well, that caused the explosion here, so everybody kind of flies back, and
so basically it was like the end of the world scenario that happened kinda, in the game. For you, everybody watching, I'll play this so you can kind of watch what happens. But basically, and there's an ad. and basically, it was like the end of the world happened in the game. And that's like great. That's great for, you know, that's typically what happens in these events, is like something big happens, and then they're like, okay, here's the new update, right? Yep. So basically, so, you know, the explosion happened.
Everybody flew away. Then everything sucks back in. You see the bus go flying by, you know, all sorts of these like little monuments and memes from the game go flying by.
Yeah. And
into kind of a whirlpool there.
This is all happening as you're playing the game, which is really cool. But then if we go forward here, this is what you were left with. Like,
black screen. And then you get this faint.
Yeah, you get
black hole, and that's it.
Black hole, and that was it. And people were like, you know, okay, it's going to be an hour, right? Yep. It's supposed to be this crazy big update for the game. It's going to be an hour.
Right.
An hour went by. 3 hours went by. And then numbers started appearing on the screen. And that was like a whole code that was deciphered, which we won't go into. But the thing that made this interesting, one, the actual event was watched, I think, more than any other gaming thing online ever.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people watched it. I don't know if that number's put out yet. But as the events happened, I noticed on Twitter, they were live streaming on Twitter, 250,000 people were watching Epic's thing on Twitter.
And just watching a black screen.
Yeah.
In the end, anyways.
Yeah, and then on Twitch, if you just went to Twitch and you went to like people watching Fortnite, there was 1.5 million people watching Fortnite, which is insane. at once, you know what I mean? It's just like that's crazy. So that's what I thought was really interesting, is that this many people are actually watching the event happen. You know, it's that big of a thing in a game that people are this many people, probably more people than watch the Super Bowl.
I think there's a lot of anticipation this season, right? It's season 10, so that's kind of something big. They've been hyping it as, you know, the end, and, you know, some data mining that's come out of that. So I think there was a lot of people, you know, anticipating something big, and that's where you got some of it. Yeah, but yeah, Elon Musk saying he bought Fortnite and got rid of it.
Yeah, so saving those virgins. As this black hole was on the screen, like when you load it into the game, you're in a black hole. Somebody figured out that if you put in the Konami code,
yeah.
Which, if you don't know what that is, then you're too young for us.
You're too young. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
There was a little mini game that you could play that was basically like, what did you call it?
Asteroids.
Asteroids or something like that. But for most people, you just saw this black hole, and it was up for 2 days.
Yeah,
they shut down the biggest game in the world
for two days. Was like a server outage or something, like 2 days of downtime, people would be flipping their minds and going nuts, wanting refunds, and you know,
and they trolled everybody. So one of the rumors coming up to this was that Fortnite's done, Epic's done with Fortnite, Yeah, so on Twitter, they deleted their entire Twitter account. Like, all the tweets, they deleted. Yep. On their Instagram, they posted a massive, I think it was nine images with the black hole, with them all black except for the middle one, which was the black hole, which was...
And it was a video, of it animated.
The Epic Games Twitch was just the black hole. On the Epic Games...
The Fortnite Battle Royale subreddit was just, they locked it because they're like, well, this place is going to be worthless because it's just going to be a bunch of shit posting and
everything else. On the Epic Games status that shows you the status of like the Epic Games store, all their games, like, you know, like if there's an issue under Fortnite, all of the things said anomaly detected. It was such a big troll on everybody. So many people, all these streamers, because I was watching on Twitch. I was watching like six different streamers at once, like to see what the new thing is. And everybody's like, I scheduled out 12 hours to play the new game. I'm just sitting here like, what do I do? It was one of the funniest things to watch, because like all these streamers were like, what do I do? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, we were talking at work yesterday about what if you were like, so the event was Saturday afternoon. And it was so Monday, some people had off, right? Columbus Day here in the US, right? I happened to be one of those people off. And so I was going to play on my day off. So that didn't happen. Yeah. But what if you like had some event planned, you know, for Saturday night, and you're hosting some tournament, right? And you've got money on the line and sponsors, and Epic's not going to like, you know, be like, hey, you might want to change the date of your tournament.
Yeah.
What if you had some huge event planned?
The best thing that like nobody knew, right?
Yeah.
I think as it went into the second day, the trailer for season two was leaked.
Yes.
But before that, nobody knew. All the streamers, like they even got texts from people at Epic that were like, it's really funny that you guys don't know what's going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody knew what was going on. On Xbox, the Xbox support page said that Fortnite would, like, they had to put it up there because I assume so many parents were calling being like, my kid can't play Fortnite.
Oh my gosh.
It was the craziest. It was the craziest event, or like the most people watched it. They trolled everybody. Yeah. And it got so much hype. Like, everybody was talking about it. Like, you couldn't go on a website without them talking about it.
And I was hearing things where they're like, oh, it's not going to be up till Thursday or something. That was just insane to me.
I mean, just
think of the money that they lost out on because people couldn't buy skins and everything. Like, I don't know how much they make in a day, but just those 2 days is millions of dollars.
I mean, yeah, imagine taking Google offline for two whole days.
Yeah, it's just a prank, bro.
Yeah, it's so great. It's so awesome. We won't spend too much more time talking about it. I played one match in chapter two. They have updated the graphics, which look a lot better. It looks more real life, or not more real life, but more realistic.
Yeah.
As you said, they added a ton of other things. So definitely jump in and play. It is a free to play game, so you don't have to pay for anything. So that's the last we'll talk about Fortnite. But I think it was just such a big troll. All the memes that came out of it were great. All the content, people freaking out, kids punching their TV because they can't play. It was
people saying they got so much stuff done because they couldn't play Fortnite.
Yeah. There was just so much stuff going on there. So, just awesome. Cool. So awesome to Epic Games for just pulling like this big stunt. And great that nobody there really leaked it. Like nobody, nobody there really leaked it or anything like that, which is pretty amazing. So we come to the end of the podcast and we talk about what we have coming up next week. I'm taking a look at a graphics card. And as we talked about, I like the steampunky things. And I'll be taking a look at ASRock's Radeon RX 5700 XT Tai Chi 8 GOC. Another long name.
That name is just as bad as Gigabyte.
Yeah, they're just, but, you know, we have a Tai Chi graphics card now. I love the Tai Chi motherboards. Always been a fan, not only for the design, but Tai Chi always gave you great components and, you know, great performance for a very reasonable price.
So a lot of ports on that thing, too.
Yeah, so
that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, if you look at this, bring up here.
You got four display ports and two HDMI.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on in this card. Wow. So again, more value. It's the first Tai Chi card from ASRock. I hope they continue this. They launched their graphics cards initially with their Phantom gaming line. So it's great to see Tai Chi. It's also, this is interesting. So this is not an RGB fan here in the middle, but it's RGB elements around a clear fan, which is something I don't think we've seen. So we'll see what that looks like. But I'll be taking a look at that. We won't get into this too much. Of course, we'll talk about it next week on the podcast when I tell you how great it performs. I'll be taking a look at a desk, which I'm actually sitting at now. I think did we talk about it last week?
I feel like we did, or you and I maybe talked about it after the show.
Yeah. So I'm in the process. So the whole lights vlog and everything that we talked about is me upgrading this office. This office has worked out pretty well, but I definitely wanted to do some upgrades. And one of the things is that I actually had a desk from Autonomous, that I got maybe 4 years ago, a decent while ago.
It's been that long. I didn't know you had had it that long.
Maybe. But the thing is that with my ultra wide, I have a 34 inch ultra wide. With that, I really didn't have room to put my my tower on it. So what I did is Thomas actually reached out to me and was like, do you want to do some new content with a desk? And I said, well, here's my idea. I want to get a bigger tabletop. So in these desks, and it's the business edition, which holds more weight and moves up and down faster. Let's see here. Can we? Oh, no. Oh, here we go. So we'll just go to the XL top here. So this is the one I'm getting. So this is the big one. This is their XL. It's huge. I'm sitting in front of it right now. It's massive. And it is one of these desks that go up and down, which is great. So I'm actually sitting up higher than you normally see me because I am on a stool right now, and I could be standing. I just didn't want to stand for the whole podcast. But yeah, so these are actually pretty affordable too. Like this whole setup right here is only $529, and this is a massive desk. Wait until you guys see the review. But they're really affordable, super easy to put together. We'll have videos of how to install, how to get it all put together. Obviously, we'll have our written review as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then you'll be taking a look at a microphone, which you can tell us just a little bit about whenever this loads here.
So yeah, the Thronmax MDrill 1. Just kind of your another microphone here that we're taking a look at. Comes with that stand there. You can kind of see it there. A little different look to it. I mean, overall, it's kind of that cylindrical tube there. But that's actually a metal body up top there. All those slats in there. It's like I don't know if it's milled, but it's real high end. Build quality there. Just some a little different features here and there, with some of the lighting on there. The it's got the four patterns for recording, USB connectivity. This one is USB-C, which is really nice.
On both ends?
No, just on the microphone end.
Okay.
Not on the PC side.
Gotcha.
But you got kind of a visual indicator there for your levels. It's got some RGB on the bottom, so you can kind of adjust that to your needs. It's got the screw hole there, so it'll be compatible with your microphone stands, which is nice. It's got that smart LED indicator there.
Nice.
A couple other LEDs that'll show you like if you're clipping and
it has a bunch of different. Does it have a bunch of different modes, right?
Yeah, it's got a couple polar patterns there, and nice. In order to just kind of adjust how you need it.
Excited to check out that next week as well. So some awesome products coming down the line for us to check out. And what else we got here? We got if we did anything cool.
Yep.
To what's it called? If we did anything cool this past week.
Yeah.
Cool as I'm like half asleep here because it's past my bedtime. So you did some pretty hefty upgrades for your PC, which I was. You showed me the picture and I was like, wow, this guy's serious. You went out and bought a graphics card.
I did. I bought an EVGA RTX 2070 Super. I got their XC Ultra version, which is just slightly overclocked. But I've been running a Power Color RX 580 Red Devil since it came out. And my main monitor is just a 1080p monitor, 75 hertz, FreeSync, right? So it would keep up with most everything at 1080, right? And everything clocked pretty high. But I was ready to move on to something that'll get me better frame rates. And I also wanted a higher resolution monitor with a higher refresh rate. So I not only purchased the 2070, I also bought a Viotech monitor as well. I bought the GFT 27DB. It's a 27-inch 1440p flat monitor from Viotech. Be here tomorrow. So I don't have any results from it yet, but that monitor is a flat one. A lot of their gaming monitors are actually curved. I didn't want a curved monitor.
Gotta go the curve, baby. I'm using the curve. Just
not a fan. 144 hertz there, so I'm excited to get that in tomorrow. But I installed the 2070 yesterday, played a little Apex, played some new Fortnite.
How does it feel to be on the NVIDIA side?
Oh, man. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I have to say, though, since like when you got that graphics card till now, when you initially got your AMD card till now.
I mean, I've had it for a little over 2 years.
AMD drivers have improved significantly.
Right.
And I mean, reviewing the 5700 XTs, they're actually good cards. with some caveats, but yeah, so that's awesome.
I
was, man.
And I, you know, I really contemplated the 5700 XT. That price point was really nice. I just couldn't, I don't know. It didn't feel like the price difference to go to a 2070 Super. I contemplated a 2080 as well.
Yeah.
I think the 2070 Super is going to get me a little more time out of it.
Yeah, that's an awesome upgrade. For Not Pro, who's asking in the chat, is it worth getting 240 Hertz? I've actually used 240 Hertz. The big thing is that if you are at 60 Hertz, which I think a lot of people are, moving up to anything over 60 is a massive, like anything over 100 will be a massive improvement. Yeah. You'll notice it immediately. I can't wait, Ryan, for you to get.
I know, I'm so ready for
most
it.
Most years are what, 60 Hertz?
My main one is the 75, but everything else is 60.
Okay, yeah. Even go from 75 to 144.
I couldn't even tell the difference from 60 to 75. I was like, well.
Yeah, you're going to notice the difference immediately, especially if you're playing fast-paced games. Counter-Strike Source, any, you know, I wouldn't say Fortnite as much because it's more cell-based, but you're going to see it. Yeah. Apex Legends, like any really fast-paced game, you're going to notice a difference. Now, 240 is on the extreme side. The biggest thing that you are going to notice a difference from 144 to 240, but you have to really play that game a lot. Like if you're a Counter-Strike player, get a 240 Hertz monitor because you can tell the difference. The biggest thing too is that, do you have a GPU that's going to push that amount? Because for a 240 Hertz monitor, you need to be doing 240 frames a second. There's not a whole lot of hardware that will do that in specific games. So that's something to think about.
I forgot that Razer has that laptop with the 240 Hertz screen. I saw that at Best Buy yesterday when I was picking up the video card. And
yeah,
it looked pretty nice.
Yeah. So as far as me, I didn't really do anything. I've been working on the office, which has been so much fun. You guys could kind of see it if I move my head this way or that way. You can see the dual monitor setup. I finally moved. That's my old autonomous desk back there. So I got the test systems all back up and running. So we're back up and running as far as testing and things like that. But besides that, I really haven't done much. Hockey season has started, so I'm super into hockey right now. Mm-hmm. But that is it, guys. We're going to go ahead and end things here. We do have our full show notes page, which is linked in the description. I'll bring that up for you guys to see. But this is everything that we talked about. All the links to all of the articles and everything that we talked about is in here, so you can go ahead and follow along. If you are listening on audio and you're not on YouTube, you can subscribe to us. It's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.